He comes at the end of summer and your crops are almost grown and a tornado or hailstorm comes through and wipes them all out. Does a farmer ever say, well, this process doesn't work? That business doesn't work. And what if it goes the next year, there's a drought and all the crops died. If 2 years in a row now with no harvest, he has evidence to show it doesn't work, but it does. You just had a bad year. So I had to keep telling myself, I may have a bad summer, I may have a bad crop, but just trust the process.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back to another episode of the Life in Your Show podcast. I'm your host, Jason Wojo, and on the Life in Your Show, we help people make more, work less, and live amazing, abundant, prosperous, incredible lives. I'm joined by Polish Peter, my co-host. What's up, dude?
Hey, man. So we have some episode that we want to share with you that we're putting our secret vault, right?
Yes.
Because we have a secret vault. Do we have a secret vault?
A secret, highly protected vault.
Yeah, so it's basically you just jump into your hard drive and pull it out.
Right. What Peter is referring to is we're going to do a legacy episode. Now, occasionally we love to throw these in. We review our previous podcasts that were the most often listened to, the most often rated and reviewed and shared. And so these are the hot ones, the ones that people really, really enjoyed. And so we find these and we share them again for your benefit. Maybe you missed it the first time. Maybe you're a new listener or viewer and you didn't have a chance to listen to this. So this is a chance for you to get some of the gold nuggets that we have previously done so that you don't miss out. And so in this episode, we're going to share with you one of these episodes. We're going to call it a legacy episode. And I'm going to get ready to introduce it right now. And if you like this, I want you to give us a review, give us a rating, give us a thumbs up. Let us know what you can take from this. And then even share it in our Life in Air Facebook group. Just go to Life in Air. If you search for Life in Air on Facebook, you'll find a private group there that you can be a part of. You don't have to be a Life in Air member. This is open to the general public, and I'd love for you to participate in there. Tell us what you thought of the episode. Let's jump into it right now. Here's our legacy episode. Enjoy. I am joined by a longtime friend, a fellow Life in Air, a guy who I look up to and I have the most respect for. I mean, listen, there's not many people out there that are on this guy's level as far as integrity and honesty, achievements, accomplishments, and just being a cool, great guy that we have the pleasure of speaking with the Life in Air Show today. And his name is Joe Turney. He's been on the Life in Air Show before. Joe, this is your second time on the show, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, man.
And second or more, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. I think we just need to make you a regular staple here, right? Part of the rotation, man, because you just, like, listen, right. Every time. And by the way, Joe has spoken. You are the only person who's spoken at every Life in Air Summit. Do you know that?
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. You've been at every single one, because every time you come with something new and exciting and engaging and valuable. And so I'm excited to have you on the Life in Air Show, man. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, man. Appreciate the invite.
Well, and so, you know, as before we start recording here, you mentioned something to me that I was surprised by, and that I think isn't worth diving into for our listeners and our viewers.
Yeah.
And you said that the essentially the past year and a half have been very different than anything else you've ever experienced. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, it's been, I'm coming off a really challenging time. You know, currently I'm at peace again, because, you know, I was at peace for years and cruising along on autopilot. And then you hit this turbulent whitewater rapid to come out of nowhere, right? So we had just about every area of my life was attacked in some way over the last year and a half. We had a massive, massive renovation project. When I say renovation project, we took an old church building and we converted it to apartments, which was a great project. It's right here in my hometown. I love the project, but the city got involved, the county got involved, everybody wanted their little hand in the pie, and it got out of control. So that went $500,000 over budget, and it was $1 million project. So, interest rates went up during this time, and, you know, so that project went way off track, and that was stressful by itself. There was a land sale that was supposed to finance it that got delayed for over a year. My mom, during all this time, my mom was kind of attacked by a con artist who basically took her retirement savings, and she lost everything. She basically at zero again. All the agents from my brokerage left at the same time and went to another brokerage. A month later, all of the workers and our construction crew left and went. And these are people that I've spent 8, 9 years with. You know, I really invested with these people. My workers hurt the most, my construction workers, because, you know, I took them on vacations every year. I mean, I'm talking about elaborate, like fishing trips that cost, you know, $5,000-$6,000 per person. And I would take those people with me, and I thought we had something, you know, I thought I was more important to them than I was actually. And it hurt that they all left for $2 an hour more somewhere else when, you know, I showed them on paper, I was spending way more than that on them. And, but anyway, I've had a lot of pain this year. Even something as simple as I had a garden I'd worked for about 8 years on bonsai trees, and they were all attacked the same week by beetles, and all of them died. I have none left. I had beginnings of an apple orchard that we'd worked on for a couple of years that we put some fertilizer on, and it was either faulty or put on wrong, and all the apple trees died, you know. So I just couldn't win this year. It's like, man, why is this? What's happening here, you know? Some of it, you know, the project management was a little bit my fault, but a lot of it was stuff I didn't even see coming. You know, I didn't even have it on the radar. So just about everything I got hit with this year was off the radar. I didn't even see it coming. So it makes it tough when you don't see it coming.
How do you – let me just pause it and interrupt you really quick, man. That, like, almost – any single one of those by themselves would be debilitating, I think, to a lot of people, or really like a big setback. Like,
yeah.
And you just listed like a half dozen or more. Like,
yeah, that's not even all of them.
Okay. So what goes through your mind when this is happening? Like, how do you manage to stay afloat and stay, I mean, it just feels like, I mean, I'm overwhelmed from just hearing about it in a couple of minutes, and you've been living this.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking about before we started our call, was we were talking for a minute where I had to always keep in mind that it was just a season. This is a season, it'll pass. This is a season, it'll pass. You know, I always put everything going back to farming, because farming, you know, farming goes through cycles, spring, summer, winter, fall. Life goes through seasons, or spring, summer, winter, fall. Business goes through all those seasons. And I had to just keep reminding myself that I was just in a season. Seasons always end. How often does fall come after summer? You know, every time.
Yeah.
How often? So winter always comes after fall. It never doesn't happen. So I had to keep reminding myself it was a season. But it also got me really thinking about the seasons in your business, you know, and in life, and especially being a coach, you know, that I've helped people with. Most people, when I ask you, what do you think the toughest season is for your life and business? Most people think, what do you think that most people would say?
Winter.
Yeah, most people automatically go to winter. But through these recent experiences and just observations and stuff, I've kind of changed that. I really think summer is the hardest season of all for all of us. Because, you know, in the springtime, you have the excitement. You have something new starting. You got your new business. You're getting all these processes up and running. You're getting your paperwork, your bank accounts. You get all your planting. You know, you got all this busy work. In the fall, you've got your closings, your sales, your sell your business, your income. You got harvest in the fall, right? But in between spring and fall is this summertime when there's nothing, there's no income, you're getting no reward for your effort. It's just fighting bugs and weeds and drought, and you're just laboring with no end in sight. And that to me is the hardest time. Because in our modern world, winter really is just a time of rest. It's just shut down and be quiet for a few months, you know? Just don't do anything. Let the seasons reset themselves. Just rest. You know, winter is just, for me, that's where I'm at now. Just rest. There's no expectations. There's no springtime. There's no planting. It's just rest. So I'm kind of enjoying the winter, you know. It's just quiet rest time. But that summer, you know, it's rough. Yeah. And, and like in real life, sometimes you have this long, hard summer, and then there's a hailstorm, and you have no crop at the end. You have no harvest. And then what do? You know, you've spent years of your life. You know, this is, you know, my history a little bit. I had three of those in a row, 3 5-year long summers that had no harvest. And it almost wiped me out. I mean, 15 years of working without a harvest, you know, like I get to the harvest time and something catastrophic would happen and it would erase all the stuff I just did. And it took, you know, a lot of reset. So then you go through this long, hard summer of work. You don't get a harvest. And then you have to go to winter and you have to just sit and wait and think about what just happened, you know. Those are tough times. But I do appreciate the winter being able to sit and just wait on the next springtime to come. So that's where I'm at now. Kind of everything is at peace now. All the damage has been stopped, you know, triage. Everything is secure and stable. And now I'm just kind of waiting on the next thing that comes around. So,
man,
it's kind of a story.
I never thought of that way, man. Like I always just, yeah, I thought winter, but the way you stated that makes so much sense, man. Yeah, I never recognized that. Are there things that people can do to influence those seasons, do you feel like? Or do you think like this is within our control to any extent? Or is it just basically like, you know, maybe a mixture of things you can control and things you can't control? Like, you know?
That's a good question. I'm not, you know, we're not totally in control of when our harvest comes in, especially in business. You know, you can estimate it. Let's just take a regular rehab house project. You know, your harvest is at the end when you sell it. You know about when that's going to happen. And there are things you can do to speed up the work and the process, you know, to make the summertime shorter. But I guess you can influence it, but you can't totally control it. You know, you can, because, you know, I got to the end of one house project a few years ago, and there was a property line dispute that took a year and a half to resolve, you know, on the title work. So that harvest never came almost, you know, because so it just sat there in endless summertime, just pulling weeds and fighting bugs for years. So
right.
I think we can definitely influence it and plan for those things. But I think a lot of people I see is they don't have a plan for no harvest. What happens when you get to the end of your summer and there's no harvest? That's tough. That's one of the toughest times of life, when you have to admit the things I've spent my life on for the last 3 years are not going to pay off. And going back to my trees, you know, my bonsai trees, this was a very hard emotional life because I've got so much invested in these things, you know. And it would come obvious to me they weren't going to live, you know, they were not going to be able to be salvaged. Here's a good question for life. How long should you continue to water a dead plant? A dead relationship, a dead business, a dead plant. How long should you continue to water that, you know? And the day you quit watering is when you finally admit that, you know, it's not going to work. And that's a tough time. I've had a lot of those, especially lately, and it doesn't feel good. But you got to get into winter, or else you're never going to get out of this. You know?
Man, so you make me think of something, man. And like, you know, how long are you going to water a dead plant? Like that's really right to the point, man. But I'm wondering. And this is a hard question, and I don't know if there's an answer, by the way. So let me just preface this. I'm not expecting you to come up with this, but like, if it is a relationship or it is a business or it is whatever it is that you're working towards, working on, putting your time, energy towards, how do you know, like, if it's going to pull through or not? Cause sometimes it feels like it's not a dead plant, but there's a lot of brown leaves and like, I'm not sure. And like, this has always been something that, like, and I've gotten this question before from people too. They're like, you know, and this is where it's like, for instance, like I've seen people be like, hey, if my business isn't making $100,000 a year by this date, I'm going to close doors because that's my deadline, that's my goal. And then other people are like, well, I mean, what the whole 2 inches from gold kind of thing. And they're like, well, how do I know I'm not there yet? Do you have any perspective on that or insights from your own previous experiences?
Well, you know, I just had to live through that a good bit.
Yeah.
And I guess the summary for me is, in my opinion, this is just an opinion, obviously, but something that's living or alive will always respond to your energy and your effort. When it's no longer responding at all or even changing based on your efforts, then it's dead. That's just my opinion on it. You know, if I rework the roots of this plant, I re-put it in better soil, and it continues to deteriorate, it's probably dead. It's not, in other words, it's not responding to my love, attention, energy, and effort. And it's not making any difference. It's not even plateauing, it's continuing to decay. To me, death always decays. Life always grows. So if it's decaying and you can't stop it, then there's no, it's dead. So.
That makes a lot of sense, man. I knew I could count on you to cut to the chase, man.
So when it's not responding any longer, now I'm not talking about instant response. You got to give things time to make sure it didn't respond to this.
But, yeah.
But if it's not responding, then it's got a time to let it go to me.
Right. So like, you know, maybe a husband's struggling in his relationship with his wife and he's like, hey, I was nice to her for a week and I didn't get a response. Yeah. Meanwhile, like the past 2 years have been like terrible. Yeah. Yeah, you expected
it. Yeah. Yeah, it takes a little bit of time to know for sure. And that time is always depends on how big the project is, right? You know, a relationship may take months or a year to figure that out. But a plant, you know, you can tell in a week or so if it's going to respond. So it all depends on what you're investing in. In a business, within 30 days after you make a positive change, you should see your cash flow change in some direction, right? I mean, you should see it quit going down so much. You should see a change immediately when things that are moving faster. How about that? Is that faster it moves, the more quickly you get a feedback from it.
Got it. So tell me what this period of summer has done to you in terms of your thinking, your perspective, some of your beliefs maybe that have been challenged about how things have.
I got a list of those. Wow.
Man, because I can't help but imagine like this is, dude, this feels, I mean, this is going to maybe not an accurate analogy here, but this almost feels like biblical proportions of plague after plague after plague, where it just keeps knocking you down in different areas. And like, I'm sure something has had to change in you in terms of your views, your beliefs, your actions, the world.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've got one employee left who's been with me my whole time. He's my full-time manager. He has absolutely seen so much difference. He started worried I was going to close the company. He was like, don't go anywhere, man. I'm with you. Don't go anywhere, man. But yeah, I've actually changed a lot internally. I believe that. And you know, I think what hurt the most is I believe that I was important to people as much as they were to me. It's hard to put this into words, but you know, these people that I invested so much in, I cared about them and they were important to me. And I put a lot of effort into them as people. I trained them, taught them, gave them tools, materials. Like I said, went on vacation with them, took them places. And it turned out I was not reciprocally important to them as they were to me. Like I could be replaced by somebody who would give them another dollar an hour. But so that hurt a lot, figuring out I was less important to people than I thought I was, you know. And some of that is just naivety, I guess, you know, just trust. It goes back to I've been naive my whole life. And I'm just now getting out of it. You know, I'm 55 years old. I'm finally getting over this naivety. So that hurt a lot. And that really changed the way I look at my workers now. You know, my workers are a business transaction. try to stay in touch and make sure they ain't got anything in their life that that needs help. But otherwise, you know, we're not friends anymore. We're just, you work for me, I pay you a salary. And that changed, you know, that I do miss that, but I think that's just the way life is. I didn't want to admit that, you know. And the biggest thing I believe is I had to go back to, why would a farmer ever go through all the work to clear land, dig up dirt, put these little tiny things in the ground that nobody could, if you didn't understand what a farmer did, why would he be out there digging in the dirt? Why would he even do that? Why would he put himself through that? And I mean, have you ever thought about that? Why would you do that? Like, why would you go dig in the dirt and put seeds in the ground? What would motivate you to do that, right?
You have some sort of faith that
faith. This,
yeah.
And you have to trust the process, right? Faith that if I do these things in the way that they're supposed to be done, there will be a harvest at the end. That's the faith. If I do the actions, I will reap the reward. And, you know, he comes at the end of summer and your crops are almost grown and a tornado or hailstorm comes through and wipes them all out. Does a farmer ever say, well, this process doesn't work? You know, I've tried it. That business doesn't work. And what if it goes the next year, there's a drought and all the crops die. If 2 years in a row now with no harvest, he has evidence to show it doesn't work, you know, but it does. You just had a bad year. So I had to keep telling myself, trust the process. I'm doing the right thing. I'm being obedient, disciplined. I'm honest, sincere. I've got all the right seeds. So it must come to an end, you know. I may have a bad summer, I may have a bad crop, but it just trusts the process. That's kind of where I'm at now. Is if something's delayed, you know, there's a financial overrun, you know, I just keep doing what I know to do. The farmer doesn't go out and curse the sky and yell like, would you stop this hailstorm, you know? How dare you, tornado? And I'm out there in the field yelling, how dare you, interest rates? And me yelling at interest rates is like a farmer yelling at the weather, you know?
Right.
I got to
right.
just trust the process that I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing it in the right way with the right people and just let it run. Let that run its course.
Hey, we'll get right back to our episode. But before we do, I want to tell you about our business builder workshop. Peter, I love this event, man. Why do people need to go?
Yeah, because you are going to be designing your own business, right? If you haven't been successful in the business as well as you would like it to, this is the event to be, because we're going to be working through everything. It's like an MBA in 3 days for your own business.
That's right, man. We cover everything from systems, processes, automation, hiring, sales, marketing. It is like what Peter said. We've had a woman who went to business school. She said she learned more in 3 days with us than she did at 2 years of her business school. So if you would like to make a transformational change in your business as well, go to lifeinter.com right now. Click on the Business Builder Workshop, register for event, and we will see you there. You mentioned, you know, trusting in the process. And so what I hear is like, hey, I need to do what I need to do. And there are, you know, things outside of my control that could throw a wrench in this. But similarly, there are sometimes, I guess, things that happen that actually are in your benefit and in your favor as well. And those, again, you can't necessarily count on. But I think what you mentioned is like that this is your only alternative, because what's the alternative is you don't plant anything and then you're guaranteed the result of not having a harvest. And so taking that step of faith and doing what you know to be, you can do. Do you think there are ways that someone can predictively reassure or at least maximize their chances of success that there will be a harvest? Like, are there, I guess, is it wise to think through some of these alternative things that could occur in an effort to protect yourself, or is that wasted time?
I kind of like to at least look at, on a project especially, you know, the worst case scenario, you know, what if, play out kind of the what ifs.
Yeah.
And as long as there's an exit to all the what ifs, then you just go back to do the right thing in the right way. You know, when making a decision, for me, if you just say, let's play out the worst case scenario, and is there, can I live through that? Is that possible to get through that? Then let's go do it. You know, like walking on if somebody wanted me to walk a tightrope with them, you know, across this gorge, I'm playing out the worst case scenario. What's the worst case scenario? I die, right? So, well, then that risk is too high. I can't handle the worst case scenario, so I'm not going to do that.
Got it.
But if the worst case scenario is there's a safety net under, I fall in the safety net, then let's go do it. You know, the worst, if you can handle the worst case scenario, then go ahead. But otherwise, don't do it if you can't handle it.
Right, right. So two other questions I have, man. Like, were there areas? Well, first of all, let me ask you this. You had mentioned, and I don't think we're recording yet, but you mentioned this $500,000 overrun project.
Yeah.
And what was the cash flow in that? Like, or I guess I'm assuming you were bleeding money on this.
Oh, it was bad. Yeah.
Okay.
So trying to do a summary of the project. It's, you know, we took a large apartment, we took a large church building that had been abandoned in our community, and we converted it to apartments. I did all the work, you know, as a contractor on it. It was a great project. I loved the project. I loved the use of the building. It improved the community a lot. You know, everybody loved it. The end result was the apartments turned out great. They filled up the first month. All of them were filled within a month. It was a great project. But during that summertime, when I'm working with no harvest, the weeds started attacking, the bugs, and we had just, the city got involved. They wanted, you know, they wanted sprinkler systems, which wasn't a big surprise, but then they wanted double firewalls, double escapes, because our building inspector happens to be the fire marshal too. So, and I showed him on our architectural drawings that wasn't required. And he said, yes, but I want that. So those were the kind of discussions I had. And every week I get hit by these phone calls that cost $20,000, $40,000, $15,000. You know, the city wants to put in a dedicated water line for the sprinkler system. Well, that means they got to drill underneath the U.S. highway to get to it. You know, it's $15,000 fee for that. These are the phone calls I kept getting day after day after day after day. And I had to go back to the bank who was financing our construction loans. Like, here's what happened, you know. And I would lay it out, left column, right column. But the one in the left column is my fault. I missed it. But all these over here in the right column, I didn't see coming. You know, this is a three-story building built on a concrete slab. You know how auditoriums are built. There's no load-bearing walls or anything. It's just big building slab. I would never guess that one end of the building was 3 feet below grade. Like it was underground. Like we kept getting water coming in one end of the building, and we started digging around trying to find it. And we found out there's 3 feet of dirt around this end of the building that's, you know, over wood. So we had to excavate around the whole building, build retaining walls, you know, just stuff like that.
Man.
So yeah. So at one point, you know, the interest rates keep going up. But everything was going to be okay, because at the end of January 2022, the land next door was going to sell to Dollar General, and that money was going to be cover all of our overages and was going to put us back on track and fund us to the end of the project, because with all the overages, the construction loan wasn't big enough to finish. So, but I knew the money was coming from the sale. It was under contract. They already did due diligence, so we're fine. That money's going to cover it. Well, they kept running into delays. Dollar General got delayed 3 months, and then 3 more months, and then 6 months, and they got delayed a year and a half, actually. Sometimes, you know, it was little things for them too. You know, the state wanted them to do a traffic survey to show if they needed a turning lane or not. Well, that took 3 months, you know. Little things like that. So during that year and a half is the year I'm talking about, that year and a half where the construction loan is empty. I've used it all. The money from this Dollar General sale is eternally delayed. The project isn't finished and rentable, so it's not bringing any income, and it's just sitting at this 90% complete stage, just sitting there. It's just bleeding, you know, $8,500 a month in interest alone, you know, just bleeding. So it became obvious, I'm going to have to finish this project without financing. You know, I didn't want to bring in a hard money person because I kind of lost faith in the project, and I didn't want to use somebody else's. I didn't want to lose somebody else's money. Oh, dear God, I didn't want to do that. So I'm going to have to finish this myself with my funds. And I don't have that kind of cash sitting around. You know, I need 300. I was faced with the odds of come up with 300 grand or lose a million. That was your two choices. So, you know, I just borrowed money. I went and got car loans to pay payroll for a month. And, you know, I get these offers in the mail for 0% credit cards. I'd use those, you know, for another month. And then I eventually finished the project myself with my own money. And it rented and started cash flowing. And then it was like, I could breathe a little bit. You know, I wasn't losing money every month. Now it's breaking even every month. And just 3 months ago, September, that Dollar General sale finally closed. Departments have been finished and rented for 6 months.
You're like, where were you guys?
Yeah, I was like, where were you 6 months ago? So all that money came in and paid off all of that debt I borrowed, you know, the car loans, the credit cards, all that stuff. You know, so back to zero now.
So
but now the project makes, you know, 5 or 6 grand a month net profit. It's a nice project. But it was going to make like 12. So it was, you know, pretty good.
But how did you decide, like, to, again, like we talked about, like watering the dead plant. How did you know that I gotta do this? Like, cause you could be, some people might be like, hey, you're throwing good money after bad.
Yeah.
How did you?
Well, it kind of goes back to that, you know, the project is still alive. It's still responding.
Yeah.
It's still making progress. I can still see fruit from the labor.
Got it.
Every dollar we spend gets us closer to a finish, and it's still moving. You know, it's not stagnated.
Yeah.
We were able to finish one build. There was three separate buildings. We were able to finish one building, and I actually talked the building inspector into giving us a certificate of occupancy for one of the three buildings, which got us some cash flow coming in early. That helped. So as long as it was responding, you know, it goes back to, it wasn't dead yet.
Right.
It was on life support for a while. And mainly it was, imagine a farmer who planted too many crops. He couldn't maintain them. You know, that's where I was at. I was in this huge, massive crop field, and it was just me, and I'm pulling weeds as fast as I can every day, but I'm only doing this little area, and the rest is, you know, getting overgrown weed. But I knew if you just stay with it, you know, it'll finish. You know, it was tough, I have to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I also hear that you're a creative, you were, you know, you gave some real thought as to how you could make this happen. You didn't, you know, just throw in the towel. And also it sounds like you had set yourself up previous to this with some level of maybe, safety or margin so that not necessarily you could weather this level of a storm, but at least you weren't, like, from day one, you weren't, like, you know, in the red.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, going into any project, the less you know about it, the more safety you need, right? And this was a huge bunch of unknown projects. So I had massive, massive safety margins and worse, you know, I didn't even count for everything that went wrong, but still, even after all the overages, it still made money. You know, it was amazing to me. It's just fascinating. No other business you could go 50% over budget and still make money. It's just amazing. But because I had safety margins, you know, just and you know, just been willing to do some of the work myself if I had to. But those margins are what saved me. And the less I know about a project, the more margins I'm going to have in it, for sure.
Right.
Got it. When this property was listed, it was prime commercial real estate. It was on a corner lot, like 4 acres corner lot with 14,000 square feet of building, roughly, maybe more. And they wanted 700 grand for it. It was foreclosure, bank owned. And I offered the bank 200 for it. And they laughed, obviously, said, Yeah, we'll call you, right? Well, almost 3 years later, they call me. Yeah. They're like, is your offer still good on this? So I was like, well, let's talk about that, you know.
Yeah, wow.
It's not the same offer anymore. Now I want you to not only do that, I want you to finance the rehab. I want you to fund the construction. I want you to do all the, you know. So basically, I got an owner finance deal from the bank because I was the only guy in town who would touch it, you know. So that was the margins we had. You know, they wanted seven. It was appraised. It said we had an appraisal for 700, and we bought it for 220 something.
Man,
and that 500 margin is what saved us.
Man. Well, dude, this is awesome. What advice would you have for somebody who, first of all, of course, recognize the seasons, recognize what season you're in, but let's say somebody is going through challenges right now in their life and they're, you know, maybe they are, you know, yelling at the sky and things like that. Yeah. What kind of advice would you have for them to kind of help them get through that tough period?
First, check your, I think, start internally always, you know, and be very brutally honest with yourself. Are you doing the right thing? Are you being honest with everybody involved? Is this a selfish endeavor or is it serving someone else? You know, selfish endeavors are the highest risk of all, you know, because you're, when you're at risk of hurting another person, then you're not, you don't have the blessing of the natural process, right? You're trying to shortcut the harvest season. You're trying to go into the seeds and pull out the plants. Mm. You know, a farmer who goes out and cracks open their seeds to get them, go ahead, I'm going to go ahead and get these things started because I don't want to wait 3 months, right? So I'm going to go ahead and crack them open and put them in the ground so that they'll start early. You're on a dead end path if you're not being honest with yourself, if you're working on something that's not going to serve another person in any way other than yourself. Be honest with those first. But if you're doing the right thing, you're honest with everybody, you're not out for selfish motives, then just trust the process. Is the project still responding? It's a yes or no question. It's not a story. Don't tell your story. I don't want to hear the history on it. If you put in energy, do you see response back at all? And if the answer to that's no, it might be time to move on. It's one of the hardest things you'll say out loud is my crops are not going to produce a harvest. And man, it's like gut just to say it. It hurts, you know?
Hard. Yeah. Well, man, listen, powerful words of wisdom. I want to thank you for your time in Life in a Show, for you sharing these insights. And, yeah, you know, and especially like the examples that you shared, while in some cases for many people would be, I mean, just, you know, just suck the breath out of your lungs. Like there's so much. I'm grateful that you've learned such great things and have chosen to share them with our listeners, man. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Fun show.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that episode and got something valuable out of it. I love that I get to talk to these amazing people like Joe, who just openly and freely have this heart for sharing and share their wisdom so generously with us. If you did get something out of the episode, share, give us a review, give us a rating, give us a thumbs up, tell us how we're doing, because we are here to serve you and give you the content and the valuable information that you can use and use in your own life. And so if you do that, we'd be eternally grateful, because it allows us to impact more and more people as we grow and as we change the world. All right, we will see you next week, everyone. Take care.